Man, I tell you what, summer got here in a hurry, didn't it? Man, we went from having the heat running, my air conditioning system didn't know what was going on, man. Had the heat on in the morning, had to run, heat on in the morning, run the air in the afternoon. We went from 66 degrees to 96 degrees just like that. Man, woo, hot. But anyway, that's the way it is, man. Something, got to have something to complain about, amen? You know what Floyd the Barber said? Everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. Said Calvin Coolidge said it, but I don't think, and Andy said no, so I don't know. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1, the Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to, not because of, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you in prayer and just ask now that our minds be focused on you, your word. Lord, I know you're going to speak to our hearts. I pray each one of us realizes, Lord, that you'll speak to us as individual people. Lord, even here today in a corporate service. So I pray that our hearts are ready, our minds are open. Lord, we're listening, Lord, with our spiritual ears as well as our physical ears. And I pray you have your will and way with us here today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Things we cannot see. That's the title of the message. The key verse is verse 8. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, when you look in the New Testament, most of what's said to us after the Gospels, after you get through the Gospels, most of what is said is really directed at Christians. I mean, it's speaking to people that are already saved. They're saved. I mean, I think the whole Bible speaks to us. I understand that. We can look at the Old Testament. That speaks. The Gospels even speak to us today as saved people. But a whole lot of the rest of what is in the New Testament is speaking to people. I feel like I said, I think maybe last week, week before, that most of what I feel like I'm speaking to saved people. If not, you know, and there may be somebody here that's not saved. Maybe somebody thinks they are. Maybe somebody here that's not sure about their salvation or has doubts about their salvation. But for the most part, probably Christians. We think about that, and I want to speak to you along those lines today. We think about what is a Christian. You know, what is a Christian? What would define a Christian? If you ask the world or maybe sometimes even ask Christians, what is a Christian? You know, is a Christian a person who's cleaned up, trying to do their best, do the best that they can in life, or someone that is trying to live by a set of rules? You can't do this, and you know you have to do that. A Christian because of what they say, what they do. I mean, I believe Christianity affects what you say, or maybe not only what you say, but how you say it, and then even what you do. I believe, and I know this to be a fact, that Christians are on different planes in life. There's different things. And this one term, I'm always cautious about this term right here, because one of the ones I'm going to give you, but I believe that there's Christians that are casual Christians, I'd say we call it like that. I would define that as, that they don't have their life surrendered to the Lord. I believe that, that they don't have, that, that, it's not the priority that it should be, their Christianity in their life. And then there's the term carnal Christians. I heard a fellow preaching one time and read a well-known preacher that said he wasn't even sure there was such a thing as a carnal Christian. It's kind of like it's opposition. Tom Farrell, I think he said he didn't believe in there was such a thing as a carnal Christian, man. He said they're either saved or they're not. And if we're living carnally, you know, that we're not saved. And it could be, if we want to loosely define that, somebody that's struggling with the self-life, the self-will right there. So I believe that. You know, I believe there's Christians that are just, we know that we've all come through maybe different places in our Christian walk. And, when we think about this, and I know there's a lot of people that fall into this category, they're saved. They've looked at salvation this way. They've looked at salvation like that it was the end of something. You know, like where they finally got there. Well, woo, man, how I was living all my life, lost as I could be. And man, I got saved. Woo, man, I made it. Boom, just like flop down in the chair at the end of the day. I've got it done, man. I've gotten saved. And so like salvation was like this end of thing, something they have gotten to in their life, instead of looking at salvation or their Christian life as the beginning. It is the end of something. It's the end of the old life, the old lifestyle, the old habits, the old, even sometimes the old friends, the old habits, the old haunts, the places we used to go, the old speech, the old loves, the old joys, all those things. It's the beginning of, it's the end of that, but it's also the beginning of this new life. You start looking at, man, you just first got saved. The Bible even talks about people that just got saved as being babes, baby, the milk of the word, that, baby food that you give them, you kind of grow up in that. So we know there's this beginning side of it, this new life, a new walk, even a new talk. And listen, it's, we celebrate a lot of times things that we have been saved from, that old life. We look back at that old life, the past life. We look back at that. Boy, God brought me out of this. He's brought me out of that. And boy, no telling where I'd be if I hadn't got saved. And I believe that's not a bad thing. I mean, it's okay to do that. But don't stop right there. Now we got to look at what God's got for us in the front side of things right there. Celebrate what we have not only been saved from, but what we have been saved unto. What has God got us to now? When you think about that, I mean, man, that life in Christ, that we have the fellowship with God that we had. I mean, think about this, deity living in us. I mean, that there's God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling right inside of us. That we walk with God every day. That we can walk with God. We can fellowship with God. We can talk to God. We can trust, I mean, all the things that we can do, I mean, that we have that privilege of God Almighty, the creator of the universe, which that doesn't even, we can't even describe it. I mean, how great and big God is that we have this fellowship with God, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Boy, what a blessing, what a privilege that is to have the Holy Spirit of God in our heart. And then even in one of the verses that we talked about this morning, joy unspeakable. Man, we got joy unspeakable. We can have that as well. Peter talked about that. Power to live and have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Man, I mean, we can live above the fray. You know what? We can live above that. And that's the place that God wants us to get to. Listen, we've risen above that casual Christianity and certainly above that carnal Christianity that may or may not exist in reality of it all. And we've learned that everything outside of Christ is not part of the Christian life and walk. Listen, God doesn't take salvation lightly. And we shouldn't take it lightly either. I mean, it's a serious thing with God. It's an important thing with God. But look what it said in verse 8, and what's kind of getting around to what I want to talk about. Verse 8's the key verse. He said, "Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable." It means that having not seen, we haven't seen him in the past, and there's no possibility of seeing him right now as well. Now, when you think about that, Peter wrote this. Now, Peter saw Jesus in the past. Peter saw Jesus, not only he saw him before resurrection, Before his death and burial and his resurrection, he saw him afterwards, which is in a glorified state somewhat. He saw him at that when he wrote that, but he's writing to people that didn't. There were people that got saved that probably never saw Jesus on earth. They didn't see him afterwards because they weren't saved. They didn't see the resurrected Lord. And that's us. he's writing to us. We didn't see him the same way. Jesus told Thomas, and when they were in the upper room, he said, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are they that haven't seen and yet believe." You know, there's an old saying that says, seeing is believing, right? But there's an old song. I think it's an old soul song, maybe. I've got it on the tip of my brain. But it says, believe only half of what you see and none of what you hear. Huh? There's some truth to that right there. You know, seeing physically is not always believing. Aren't there things that we have seen that we thought were something else and we could not see that? I've seen this. I've shared this with you, and nobody seems to watch this show but me. It's called Brain Games, and they do a lot of things that have to do with things that aren't as what they appear. And one of the things I remember one time, they had it looked like a picture up here on the wall, and you're looking at it from out there, and it was kind of like looking at a kitchen scene where you're looking across is like a counter there, like somebody might have like an island, and then you're looking past it and you're trying to get the 3D view, the depth of everything, and everything looks like it has depth. And you think it looks a certain way. There's a glass that looks like it's sitting on the counter, maybe like something like a wine glass and that, and you're looking at it, and in your mind you get all the depth perception figured out. And then they change the angle. The wine glass, which was at the forefront that looked like the biggest thing, was actually the most farthest thing away. It was just bigger. Our mind was thinking it was this size, and it was really big on the back wall of what you were looking at. See, so your mind is tricked. And so sometimes what we think we see physically is not reality. That happens in the physical world, but now we're talking about seeing something spiritual. Physical things, the mirage looks like water. We've seen something like that before. So we have perception and perspective, optical illusions. People that do illusions, not really magic, but illusion, it's all based on how you think it looks. So that can be deceptive. And then we have conclusions. We come to conclusions drawn on the testimony of our senses, which can be wrong, which could be wrong. But that's not how New Testament faith and New Testament Christians believe in the invisible. See the invisible. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The evidence of things not seen. This is why sometimes you struggle. Have you ever you're trying to witness to somebody that maybe believes that God's not real or the things of God's not real, and because they can't see, right? And so you know, and you're trying to explain a reality that you know, because of faith in your heart. And you're trying to explain it to a lost person that can't see that. How does that go with you? It doesn't. You know, you just can't do it. Why? Because, see, you can't explain it. You really can't explain it either. You can just say, "Just I know it. I just know, I know, I know. I know that." Hebrews 11:20 says, "Moses, by faith, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Moses could see what a whole lot of them other ones couldn't see. He could see what God was going to do with the people of Israel. He knew he could see them coming out of bondage. They couldn't see it, but he could see it. He just knew it. And God was going to use him because he could see it and use him to lead those people out. You know, Hebrews, a little side note, Hebrews is called, 11 is called the faith chapter. I've read where somebody said it should be called the works chapter. Because in every case, the people that had faith did something for God. They had faith and they did something for God. They did something with their faith. That's real faith, right? When you do something with your faith. Everybody with me today?
Amen. I'm just checking. It's quiet.
Amen.
I'm just making sure we got a pulse in here, right? So here's a question I want to ask you right here. I know I told Darlene my introduction's a little long, so she didn't have to sit there with her finger on the button and wait to push up point one. And maybe you've thought about this yourself. Sometimes it's a good question. Like Brian, he was sharing with us this morning about, like, you can ask yourself a question, which is not a bad thing to do. You ever see somebody, a Christian, that's really got it? I mean, man, they're living on another plane. They are living above the fray that I spoke about. This joy unspeakable that Peter talked about there in verse 8, flowing in and out of their life. And they're full of glory. They're not controlled by. They live above the circumstances of life. They are not bent over by the burdens of life. And you ever wonder why? Or how? Maybe how? Not the why. We got the why. I think we got the why straightened out. But how they do? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today. Maybe it'll help you along life's way. Come in right on. First point. Belief in the invisible. Belief in the invisible. See, we all basically have a belief of some kind in the invisible. We believe in the invisible, right? I always try to point this out where people that I talk to that say, well, you know, I can't see God or anything, the things of God, so therefore I'm not going to believe in God. And I said, well, you believe in things, though, that you don't see all the time. You know, when you think about this, the wind. We can't see the wind. We see what the wind does, but we don't see the wind. We just see the wind moving the tree, but you really don't see the wind. How about heat? You don't see heat. You might say, well, I see them in little heat waves. That's what heat's doing to the air. You're just seeing the air that you can kind of get an illusion there because it blurries it up a little bit. But we don't really see heat. We feel it, but we don't see it. And so, you know, there's invisible and there's physical that are intertwined in the world that we live in. The sun, right? We can see the sun because it's light. We can see light, but we can't see the heat. We feel the heat from the sun, but we only see the light from the sun, right? So there's two things. There's physical or visible and invisible that coexist together in the same thing, in the very same plane, right? So we see that in the actual world that we live in today, coexist. But we start thinking about the things of God. Like, we got tangible word, all right? We have, and we've got promises from God, and we start thinking, and so sometimes I'm trying to get you back to the people that think like, boy, I see back, I can see back in my Christianity or what God's taken me out of, but I can't see the things now. And even in the things in the future we think about, sometimes we Christians get their mind, they skip in this middle part, I guess what I'm trying to say. They know what the Lord's taken them out of. They know what the Lord's taken them to in the future. We got the Word of God. We try to picture heaven. We got a vision, we got some word on that. But we can't see what's going on like right now, like right in the sphere of life that we live in right now. And that's really what I'm trying to get you to right there. This is a visible, invisible world that's coexisting with the material world. Now, I'm going to show you some things in a minute. I'll get to it in a minute there, but we know about. And we even read about things in the Old Testament. We read about things in the Bible as though like they can't happen or don't happen today in the world that we live in today. We don't see those things. You know, and it's hard to see that. And so we think of things with God that's far away. I've got something I'm going to receive when I get to heaven. Listen, you got plenty that you receive right now if you're really saved. You know, the joy unspeakable is not when we get in heaven. The Holy Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts is not when we get to heaven. Not that he won't be. But I'm talking about it's also here and now. We've got promises and things of God and God doing things. I mean, man, listen, the strength and support and all the things that God can do for us in this life still exist. And it's going on right now. If we could just see what was going on. You might be scared to death if you could see what was going on right now. If you could see legions of demons and legions of angels in full out combat going on around us right now. That, you know, you might not be able to handle that. Maybe that's why that God doesn't show us those things right there. So we think of things of God sometimes as far away, but what's going on right now? Well, you know, somebody might say, well, we think about superstition. I'm not talking about superstition. People that believe in idols. See, idol worshipers, they get down there in front of a stone, whatever, some kind of object, person, whatever, and they say, well, you know, I'm not praying to the idol, I'm praying to the God of the idol. I can't see that. See, they might, what would you say to somebody like that? Because we're praying to a God, and they could say, well, listen, you don't see your God. And they're going to pray to a God, and they say, well, I'm doing the same thing. But I tell you what, this is what the difference I see right here is. See, I may be praying, or I may be add to that. I'm praying to a God that I cannot see, but I'm also praying to a God that gets something done. Huh? They're praying to a God that they cannot see, but they're also praying to a God that has not done anything and cannot be. He can't be seen and hasn't done anything to see. How about that? So they got the same thing. So there is superstition in the world, people that's in the realm of what you can't see. But see what happens to the Christian, the differences. And this is a thing that you can't explain, that we've been enlightened by divinity, that God has come into our, has spoken to our heart. He has enlightened our heart. I can't explain that to you or somebody that doesn't know it. I can explain it to somebody that knows it. And so that we see that which is invisible. See, there's no doubt about it. I think a few weeks ago, I preached along these lines right here. And you think about the martyrs that died for their faith, and they burned to death and, man, flayed to death and all kind of ways they died. They didn't do that for something that wasn't real. You don't die for, and people do, people have, I think, but in the realm of Christianity, listen, they knew without a shadow of doubt. If you had went to the apostles, I think this is the way I said it before, they saw the resurrected Christ. If you'd have went to them and said, nope, you didn't see the resurrected Jesus, it was fake, it was false, you was drinking some bad wine, something happened to you, it wasn't real, you'd have never convinced them that Jesus wasn't alive. Never convinced him. Now, do you think, and this is what I said then, I think, do you think that they had more faith in Jesus than we can have today? No. Because before Pentecost, they didn't have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them, and we do. Amen. See, we have the same, we have evidence, maybe even more so, because I said last week, I think it was, there was people that were around Jesus and saw him before he went to the cross and heard him preach and heard him speak and saw him do the miracles, and they still didn't put their faith and trust in him. It didn't, that physical nearness didn't save anybody. That physical nearness didn't always go to somebody's mind where they grasp it. But boy, when the Holy Spirit of God comes into your heart, so we see as well, at least as well as they did, as they could see right there. And so we've been enlightened by divine revelation to see that which is invisible. We know it's true. People, listen, the martyrs weren't, all the martyrs that were martyred that we read about, most of them weren't martyred that had actually seen the physical Christ. They were martyred later on. They hadn't seen him physically. They see him the same way you and I see. Was it real to them? Yes, sir. It was real because, why? Because it's real. So we have belief in the invisible and then viewing the invisible. It's possible to believe in the invisible and not be a Christian, but it's impossible to be a Christian and not believe in the invisible. You got to believe in the invisible. The difference for the Christians is Jesus Christ. He preached the truth. So, see, and we do this, think about this in life. I mean, there's lots of things in life that we say that we believe that we haven't seen it. We haven't seen it. Somebody else saw it. They wrote about it. They told about it. We know it's true, right? I mean, we understand that. Jesus came and he preached truth. He preached the truth about himself. He preached the truth about the kingdom of God, about the glory of God. He preached that. He spoke about that. And you know, he even talked about the sin of superstition, believing in something that's not true. He went to heaven and he came back. We were talking about this a few weeks ago, I think, when we were going through John, like Lazarus, when Lazarus died. And he came back. And we were talking about, I wonder, you know, if you were Lazarus' friend. You know, the Bible doesn't say a thing about what he saw. I mean, wouldn't that, what would you have done if you know Lazarus was dead and he'd dead 4 days and he came walking out of the grave? He said, hey, Lazarus, man, tell me all about it. He might not have been able to explain it. Like trying to explain to somebody that God is real, the Holy Spirit in your heart, and try to explain that to somebody that doesn't know. But the Bible doesn't say a word. I'd have been talking to him every day. Man, what was it like, man? What happened? What were you doing for 3 days? You know, what was going on? What did you see? But Jesus did. Jesus came from heaven. He was with the Father beforehand. He was from all eternity. So he came from heaven. He could talk about what happened. He died and he was resurrected and he could talk about it again. So he had the truth. So viewing the invisible. And then trust in the invisible. Trust in the invisible is probably the bigger point of all of them. Not only does the Christian trust in the invisible, but then he acts on it. Now here's the key thing. We should be living our lives according to this invisible, the things we can't see. We should live accordingly. How many of you believe the Lord's coming back? Have you seen it? You hadn't seen it yet, have you? But he's coming back. Should we live our life accordingly to the fact that he's coming back? How many claim that they believe in another world but doesn't let that change the way they live or change their plans? There's people I know that said that they're saved. They said they came forward, they made a profession, they got baptized. And I'm going to tell you what, it hasn't changed their life one iota. Not one plan has changed. Not one habit has changed. Not one thing in their life has changed. Nothing about them has changed. There's something wrong with that right there. I mean, we ought to be living our life. If we believe in this invisible world that's all around us that God's speaking about, and what Peter was talking about, even the Lord himself, it should change the way we live our lives. And not keep on living the life like there's no invisible world. Listen, the real Christian counts on it, knows that the Holy Ghost is real. How many of you haven't seen the Holy Ghost, right? We haven't seen the Holy Ghost, but we know he's real. We can feel the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a sense that you can feel. And we can be influenced by his presence. Lives are shaped, plans determined, life empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, in whom we cannot see. Isn't that? That's what it's supposed to be. I mean, that's the way it should be if you really say. Jesus prayed in the garden, and the Bible says that angels came to comfort him. They came from the unseen world to comfort him. Are angels real? Amen. The Bible says that we've entertained angels unawares. That means that we didn't know. And if you read in the Bible and you study about angels, you'll find out many times that they appeared as a man. They looked like a man. Do you think you've ever talked to an angel? You think ever entertain angels unawares? Huh? I mean, it's real, right? Is it just for the Old Testament? Or just for the early days of the New Testament? Just something that's going to be for something down the road? Is it real? It's real. Angels unaware. I'll tell you a story one time. I didn't know the Lord then when I was young. I was a teenager. I was a surfer, man. And grew up in Virginia Beach, and the waves are just okay. And when a big storm comes, that's when they're good. but when the waves are that good, there's a really bad undertow or rip current just goes back off the beach. It's straight. It usually doesn't go down the beach. There's a lot of water going off the beach back out to sea, and it's really rough. And I've been out there all day. My mom, this is how crazy we were. Mom would drop you off. You know, you'd take me down there with my surfboard, you know, drop me off. I'll pick you up at 5 o'clock. All right, this is like at 9 in the morning. Okay. And so I'm down there all day by myself, man. I've been surfing all day. You're getting tired. And the tide came in. If you know anything about surfing, it's not good at high tide. The tide come in, and I said, this is what I said in my mind. It's getting late. Didn't know what time it was. Didn't have a watch. Didn't own a watch. Probably couldn't tell time if I had a watch. I was probably, 15 or 16. I'm going to go in. I started going in, and the waves were just like closing out, which are real sloppy. It's just, I don't know. Anyway. Fell off my board out there, and it washed all the way into the beach. No worries. Been living in the water all my life. Start swimming in, and I'm getting, but the tide had come in really bad. So I'm like from here to the far wall and the other side of the foyer from the beach, and I thought, well, I ought to be able to stand up right here. And I put my feet down there, and just my toes was touching. I could
feel the current pulling my legs back out. I thought, no problem. Swam as hard as I could. I put my feet down. I'm in the same spot. Now I'm getting tired as I'm fighting this current. Man, it's all that foamy water, man. It's all going up in your nose. And I'm thinking, man, the next thing you know, man, I mean, I got nothing left, nothing. I'm just, and I didn't know what to do. Next thing you know, here comes this guy on a surfboard out there. Didn't know what he was doing. He came out there and he got sideways. I thought, oh man, here comes the guy that's going to save me. See, at 5 o'clock, 5, 6 o'clock, maybe close to six, the lifeguards go. The beach is thinning out down there. It was in the surfing area. People are gone. There's hardly just a couple people. Well, I saw some people up there while I was floundering. Saw my board laying there, and they're looking around. They didn't see anybody. I'm out there drowning. And this guy comes, and he's almost to me. And this wave hits him because he's sideways and washed him away. And I thought, that's it, man, I'm dead. I had nothing left to hold on to. And I just, my muscles were so... And it was like this. He was there. And he was on the board. And I grabbed the board. And it was like, whew. And he paddled me in there to where I could walk. I was so weak that my legs were like rubber. I mean, when I got, I was like staggering. My legs were so weak from trying to keep swimming in that current. And I sat on the beach and looked. And the guy was gone. There was no surfboard. There was no man. There was nobody there. He didn't. Was nothing. What happened to that? What happened there? There's things like that that, you know, I'm not saying, I'm just telling you, there was a guy there that got me to shore, and when I went from here to that chair and fell down, and I turned around and there wasn't anybody there. Huh? I mean, you know, who knows? God knew I was going to be a pastor and a preacher, and he had to keep me alive. I don't know. I'm just saying, there's things like that. There was angels. Jesus said that he could have called on legions of angels. When he was on the cross, he could have called on legions of angels to come and take him off. He took him off that cross. That was availability, the power of that. One of my favorite places in the Bible is old Elisha with his servant at Dothan. I bring this up from time to time. What a story. Man, I mean, they're trying to kill Elisha. He's got his servant. The enemy comes. They surround it. And his servant said, Master, how shall we do? And Elisha said, paraphrasing, don't worry about it. He said, there's more with us than be with them. And he prayed and he said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. And he opened his eyes and he said he saw a chariot of fire all the way around him. And I thought about it. I don't think Elisha saw it physically before that either. He just knew it. He just knew it. You know, God's man in God's will, worrying about getting killed by the enemy of God's people? Nope. And the Lord, and the Bible said, the Lord, he opened his servant's eye. He said, open his eyes so he can see. He was I think Elisha was over here like this, fiddling around with some papers over there, and the windows over there, and Lord, open up his eyes so he can see. And he just kept on doing what he was doing. That servant peered out the window and said, good night. We got chariots of fire all the way around. And I said, uh-huh. Was that only for then? Was that only a reality in the Old Testament? Is that only a reality for further on up the road? Which in heaven we won't need that. Is it reality now? It's just as real now as it ever was. The unseen world that goes on, seeing him who is invisible, which is talking about the Lord. I understand that. But what about the things of the Lord? Just as real. Nothing has changed since Elisha and Jesus' day. Man, back in the day when I got saved, and I was an independent Baptist, I am now, but back in them days, you got thrown out of the independent Baptist convention for talking about something as superstitious, as something you can't see. I'm just teasing. There wasn't anything to get thrown out. Listen, we live on two planes, the physical and the spiritual. And our flesh, we have such a tendency to lean only towards the physical, what we can touch, see physically, hear, taste, and on the senses. We have a tendency to only live on that plane. In our life, when you go out of this door, listen, I'm not going to be preaching to you. I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to be out there in the physical world. You're not going to, you know, how do you live in your life when you get out that door right there? Do you live your life like you know that there's a spiritual world, an unseen world that's going on all around us? And we're like Elisha's servant, child of God, right? Huh? Woo! Don't that make a Baptist shout? Huh? That's going on all around us? Don't you know Satan would have killed you today before you got here if he could have? Huh? But there was somebody with a flaming sword, huh, that kept him every which way. He couldn't get to you. See, Satan can't get your soul. If you're saved, he can't get your soul. He can get your testimony. Huh? He can get your joy. He can ruin your usefulness in God's kingdom. So the only thing that Satan can do, he can't get your soul, but he can try to get your life. He can kill you just so you don't have a testimony in this world. But there's angels, somebody with some flaming swords. Can't let him, they're not getting close. He's not getting close enough to do it, right? He can't get close enough to do it. And so we live on two planes. Spiritual and material, or physical, or natural, if you want to look at it that way. For those who could see the invisible, it says that they rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory at the end of verse 8. Joy unspeakable. It was unspeakable because why? They couldn't explain it. Somebody said, well, how come you're so happy all the time? Wasn't dope? Wasn't alcohol? Huh? Wasn't the circumstances of life? It wasn't circumstances that gave them the joy. They probably had bad circumstances. Man, it was seeing him who is invisible. They could see. They knew the Lord was right there. And then, listen to this, the unseen. The unseen in those who could be seen became the evidence of the unseen to those who could not see. Did I confuse you on that? The unseen, in other words, I'll use me, the unseen in me becomes the evidence of the unseen to those who cannot see. That's the evidence, because they said, well, you know, I don't know what happened to that guy, but something happened. Amen? That's it, right? I mean, that's a blessing right there. What level of Christianity are you living on? Carnal, more influenced by the world than the Word. The casual, take it or leave it, attitude, part of your life. Jesus is part of your life, but he's not the main part, not the serious part. Or a conquering Christian, victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, living above the fray, living above the circumstances, living above the burden, rejoicing with a joy unspeakable, and making the invisible visible to others. It all depends on what you see by faith, what you see. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, Lord. And I just pray that help us, Lord, to see beyond our physical limitations, Lord. See with the eye of faith. See with our heart, Lord, the things that concern you. See you and the things concern you, Lord. Help us to be the evidence in this world in which we live, Lord, that you are real, that you're a reality. Lord, help us to understand this in our hearts as well. I pray, it's my prayer as always, if there's one here lost today, Lord, they'll see their need of calling on you. Make it a reality to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.